the Lord speaks to Joshua. And I believe this is one of the most important of the words that God has to say. It's so universal. It's got a message for everyone. First of all, we're going to think about the name. We're going to think about this first. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, the words I want to stress there, the Lord said to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua. It was a personal message. It was really the Lord talking. It wasn't just something that came by luck or by chance. It was a big message that came to Joshua. And so we need to just look at Joshua for a moment and see if we can... This isn't going... Let's look at the name of Joshua. Joshua is a contraction of the real word, which was Jehoshua. Even that was a bit of a mouthful. So what they said was Yeshua. In those days, that's what Joshua was called. He was called Yeshua. Now, if you look at our wonderful word Jesus, that's Greek. Now, if you take that back into Hebrew, guess what? That is Yeshua as well. Joshua and Jesus actually had the same name in Hebrew. Now, in Hebrew, in the Hebrew dealings of things, names were very important. Guess what this means for Joshua and for Jesus? It means salvation. Okay? So Joshua came on the scene, and because of his name, great things were expected of him. He was a guy with great potential. And boy, did he realize it. That potential was realized. Okay, now this all starts with Joshua being in contact with God. Just think about that for a minute. Contact. Haven't we had a lovely morning so far? And here's me come and spoil it. I hope not. Almost you could do without a sermon. This service has been so great. But then, isn't it most Sunday mornings? I think it is. Great. We contact God in our worship. Lovely stuff. We contact God in our prayer. We contact God in our talking together with other Christians. We see the light of the Spirit in each other. As we talk, we contact God. We're in contact with Him. In our cell groups, in the various things that happen, we're in contact with the Lord. When we read the Bible particularly, we're in contact with the Lord. And when we pray. Now, I believe, you might disagree, but I believe that when this happened, when you get this first verse, the Lord said to Joshua, I believe that is in the context of prayer. God's going to speak to Joshua. And although he speaks in many ways, probably through the Bible, one of the biggest, yet even more through prayer. I remember once we were going on a day's conference, elders of the church, we were meeting. We did this every 3 months or so. And we were looking at the future of the church. And one guy said, well, okay, we're going to dedicate the day to God. We want to listen to God. And he said, well, look, God's already spoken. Here it is. Yes, we all agreed. Yes, he has. But I believe he still speaks. I believe that's wonderful. In so many ways, you can't magnify it enough, but God still speaks. So there is more. The Bible is complete in itself, in a way, it's perfect, but God still speaks because we are his. We are people in his presence. So let's look at this. Joshua's in contact with God in prayer, and I do believe it's right to just have a little diversion for a moment, because one of our church aims for this year is prayer. Let's just look at our own prayer life for a moment before we get on to Joshua. How do you come into contact with God? How is there a process to it? Now, I'm not saying this is what you should do, because we are all different and we all come to God in different ways. He meets us in our special way because we are us, and because we are special to him, he comes in a special way. But here's one: if you haven't got a method, if you haven't got a way of coming into God's presence, I'm going to just outline a possible for you. Okay? First one is, now I'm sorry, but this has been transferred from a PC to a Mac, and of course that doesn't always work very well. Don't worry. The word there is recognition. Yes? Recognition of who God is. Before we do anything else and come into God's presence, we should recognize who he is. He is the fantastic, huge creator of the universe. That is too big for any of us to comprehend or get our heads around. We can't do it. But just remember, he is and always has been the creator of everything. It all belongs to him, made by him, and he maintains it. There is a maintenance aspect to God's nature. So that's who he is. But also, at the same time, he is our friend. Yeah? He is our friend. And I want you to hold those two huge contrasted things in tension, because they're both true. Our God is big and small at the same time. Okay? A huge, enormous God, high and above us, and yet down to earth, within our reach. He's our friend. So, got to recognize both at the same time. Secondly, go on. Next one. It's all right. We're there. It's all right. Laughing ourselves, we should. Next one, before you do anything else, praise God for who he is and all that he can be. Okay, that is our reasonable response. Okay, remember what Paul said about a reasonable service. Well, this is our reasonable response. We should respond to God in praise, and only then transfer on to thanksgiving. There we are. That's the next thing in my little process. As I say, not the same for all of us, of course. I'm not dictating anything, just a suggestion. This is how I see it, and it might be how you'd like to see it too. But you might have another method altogether. That's fine. Only then, having recognized who God is, having praised him and having thanked him, only then should we go on to submitting our requests. Because almost we've sort of earned it, okay? We're ready to say, well, look, God, would you look favorably on this? And last, but by no means least, listen to God. These are the moments when we've had our say, and now we say, what do you want to say to me, Lord? Okay, what do you want to say to me? Now let's be clear. What I've just outlined is a method perhaps for Christians, people who know the Lord. He is your saviour. There's a method. But there might be people here who don't relate to that and can't regard the Lord Jesus as their saviour and can't be bothered with all that stuff. Believe me, God still has a message for you. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never been in contact with him, just stop. Because at this moment, when you stop and when you actually listen to God, this is when your real life could start. This is the moment at which you can come in contact with God. Never mind all that. And you can admit that God is God, and you can admit that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. This is the moment when you contact God that you can become a new creation, a new perfect, a new person en route to heaven. And if there are any in that stage, please do recognize it and come and speak to somebody like Dave and say, I want to start that life. But for those of us who are Christians, we're on that road already, and what a glorious road it is to heaven. Wonderful. We were praying for Bobby. Well, you know, God has different ways of healing. You know, look at the healing that's happened in this church recently. I mean, people here, just, you can see them before you. But I want to tell Bobby, that's another way of God's healing. Drawing his people, enfolding them in his arms, taking them. Yeah? That's another method of God's healing. And eventually, that comes to us all. But only when he's ready. Only when it's right for them. Okay? I'll be there long before most of you. And I don't regret that. I don't fear death, because I know I shall be enfolded in the Lord's arms. Okay? So, sorry, that's just a little message for Bobby. So, look. I believe this little sermon is a part of a trilogy inside Dave's wonderful Inspired series. There are three sermons which sort of fit together. First came Vic's sermon. Does God still speak? Yes, he does. It was boldly affirmed. And if we go on to the next one, it's just a little verse to confirm it. Who has ears, let him hear, said Jesus. Now I know, okay, you might say I'm taking it out of context. Jesus was really talking about his own ministry. But I think we can stretch it a little bit and say, even today, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because Jesus does still speak. Second sermon, lovely sermon from Mike. How can we listen? How does it happen? What do we do? Have we got a special place? I have. I won't go into all that, that's irrelevant. But I believe, you know, we need to experiment. Perhaps have a place, a time. That's for each of us to discover for ourselves. It's a road of discovery. And having got into the listening mode and found out how to do it, then I really believe that there should be results. Prayer has results. And now we're about to start the sermon. Don't worry, it's not going to be terribly long. I don't tend to go on that long. We're going to start talking about Joshua and the results of his listening. And I believe that when we hear from God, there should be results. Even the other parts of prayer, when we're asking, when we're worshipping, there are results. If there aren't, well, why bother? There are results to prayer, I believe. And so we're going to start talking about Joshua, and we're going to look at this. And I'm greatly in favour of volunteers. Volunteers are much better than pressed men. Okay? If you're cajoled into doing something, not ideal. A volunteer is worth 10 of that. And so, Robin, come on. Here's a volunteer. God bless Robin. He's going to read for us. And he's going to read Joshua 1 and the first 9 verses. Okay, mister.
Microphone.
Borrow mine. Oh, here you are. Lovely. Listen carefully. It's all in here.
Are we on?
Yes.
Yes, good. Bless you. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, or the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Amen. Thank you, Robin. Well read. Be strong and courageous. Comes 3 times. Just once. 3 times. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but that's not just chance. Numbers had a great significance in the Bible. In the Hebrew language, numbers didn't only mean units of counting. They had a meaning. And 3, because I'm not going to go to the others, but 3 has a degree of perfection. So here is a perfect command. Be strong and courageous. Joshua was changed. He was inspired to be a leader, to take hold of the situation, and to set things in motion. Secondly, as well as being courageous, came authority. Joshua had the authority to take hold of this people, the authority to get them over the Jordan. There they were, sitting on the wrong side of the Jordan, the east side, dithering about, doing very little. And Joshua came to them and said, we are crossing Jordan. And he had not just the courage, but the authority to say that and get them over, to get them to go over Jordan. Authority is a fantastic thing. But we won't go into that now. Lastly, he had power. Power to fulfill God's purpose. Because you see, not only did they get over, but Joshua was able to take them right through the land and designate places where the various tribes should live and prosper and farm and work. All one nation, but they all had their own areas. And they all got into their own area, all except one, the tribe of Gad. I'm sure you know from your Bible reading that Gad, unfortunately, decided that wasn't a very good idea. We want somewhere a little nicer. And they moved. And that was absolute tragedy. The things that happened to that tribe, we haven't time to go into, but you look it up for yourself. They fell prey to all sorts of stuff and never prospered. The rest did. So God spoke to Joshua and he gave him courage, gave him authority, and gave him the power to fulfill the purposes of God. Now, how does that relate to us? Well, I want to tell you it's just the same. Absolutely the same. We all need courage to live our lives. Various kinds of courage, because we've all got different lives to live. But God's courage is exactly right for each one of us. The courage that he gives me won't be the same as he gives you, because you need a different kind of courage. We all need courage. We need courage to face the world in all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of things that will happen to us, things that other people will do to us, circumstances that we find ourselves in. What happens is that God will give us courage, particularly to leaders. Leaders need particular courage because leaders often have to bring about change. Joshua did. He had to change these people from being on the wrong side of Jordan to being on the correct side of Jordan. How do you get over there? Joshua didn't know, but the Lord had a provision. And once they were over, Joshua was provided time after time with the courage to do what was needed. And that would be true of us. And with leaders, leaders have to bring about change. In a church, for example, no church is perfect. There are always things that any church need to be looking at, need to be examining, and need to be saying to the Lord, how do we go forward to here? What's the next step? Good example of that this morning with Hannah. You know, wonderful step forward. But I think it's only the first of many. But that's the leadership. I'm so pleased I'm no longer in leadership. It's a burden I laid down some time ago. Thank God. There's such a responsibility being an elder. The problem with being an elder is that the Bible says we are judged. Elders are judged more severely than others. And it is a responsibility. So elders need our prayers. And they need our help. Not only with what they do, but with suggestions. But most of all, with backing up. We need to back up people who are in, even if they're wrong. Still back them up because they are the leader. Okay? So Joshua went forward and he put things into action. Stuff happened because he listened to God. Same with us. Stuff will happen. Good stuff will happen if we listen to God. He'll be able to put his power into our circumstances and enable us to do his will. And if we do his will, what more can we ask for? That is the perfect road, isn't it? Not our way, not the way that we want to see things happen, but the way God wants to see things happen. We make decisions, we have thoughts. They need checking against God's standard. They need moulding so that they're not just our methods and our vision, but they become God's vision. The only way to do that is to listen to God and listen to what God has for us. So we need to take time, not rush through that last bit of our prayer. We need to take time to listen to what God's saying. But you know, the result of prayer is not just with us. Okay? We're not the only product of listening to God. So, the next one. Is that other people are affected by the way God speaks to us. In Joshua, look what happened. The people were able to be obedient. God's power had brought them sufficient grace to be obedient, to have their own courage. Yes, they took on courage and they did what they were told. They occupied the lands which had been designated to them. They occupied it and they farmed it. And that was a result of Joshua's listening. They were able to take hold of the promises of Joshua. Now, the same with us. When God speaks to leaders, they make the prophecy, if you like, clear, when you make the words of God clear, we're able to take hold of them and employ them and put them to good use. Our listening to God can be amplified and made useful in other people's lives as well as ours. We can be helpful, we can be useful by bringing God's word to others. It's not only a leadership thing. We all do that. We're all part of the family of God, portraying God to others in our lives as examples, but also in what we say and in what we do. So we have a part to play, every one of us, in showing out, if you like, what God has said to us. It isn't for us to keep it to ourselves. Now there's a third one. God spoke to Joshua. It was effective in his life. It was effective in the lives of others, tribes of Israel. Thirdly, when God speaks and when we listen to what God says, it has repercussions and effect on God himself. Now let's look at that carefully. Can God be affected? In a sense, yes. He's not changed in any way. No element of change comes in, but he is affected. First, God has intense pleasure that we hear him. God loves us to be in his presence. Word we used at the beginning, friendship. You know, Jesus promised this, I will be your friend if you do what you command, what I've commanded you. He is our friend. God loves us to be in contact with him, loves us to be his friends. When we listen to God, God is intensely satisfied with that. There's a huge pleasure for us and for him. This is a a trans world thing. This is a spiritual thing. This is part of the Spirit of God. We enter into the indescribable realms of the Spirit, where God is pleased that we are in the realms of the Spirit. We are in contact with Him. It's a real thing, but it's not a worldly thing. It's part of the whole nature of God, that He loves to be in contact with us. So God is pleased. But also, when God speaks and we hear, God's will is put into effect. See, Joshua led the people of Israel. What God had planned happened. There was really big results. They occupied the land. And that was a huge part of the whole history of Israel. In that land, God was able to work out all His purposes, and eventually came our Lord Jesus Christ into that land, and Christianity resulted. Joshua's acceptance of the word resulted in Jesus. The two come together again. So, in our church, when God is pleased that we heard, He will be pleased with us. His purposes will be worked out. Now, what more can you ask for? That God's purposes should be worked out in our lifetime, and in us, and in our church. That's a big deal. And that's what I pray for, that God's purposes will be worked out. And they will if we listen. It's automatic. If we hear what God says, if we put it into action, then God is so pleased that we as a church work together. We're on the road. You know, we're doing the will of God. And sometimes it'll be surprising. Sometimes we won't hear right. But in our church, we can make a difference because we hear God. Now, in conclusion, one little word of warning. Sometimes, because we are not perfect people, we will hear wrongly, I should say. We won't get the right message. We'll get the wrong idea. That can happen to any of us, leaders, anybody. Now, this is where two of our main church aims come together: prayer and cell. If the Lord speaks to you, it'll be quite clear. Or perhaps I should say, when the Lord speaks to you, let's be more positive, when the Lord speaks to you, don't keep it to yourself. Take it to your cell group. If you're not in a cell group, well, that's a pity. You should be. Do something about it. Talk to somebody about being a cell group. But if you hear from the Lord, take it to your cell group. Not just the cell group leader, but the whole cell, because the cell is a family. And it's a place where you can unpack what God is saying to you and say, does this resonate with you? Have I got it right? Or have I got, am I up the creek? Or am I hearing correctly? And it's the duty of the cell to listen, to hear what God has said to you, and to weigh it up and see if you are hearing correctly. We can be corrected by our cell, or the cell can be amplified by what we say. It can be either way. But share it. Let it be weighed. Let it be weighed and thought about and honoured. And I've known in cells where somebody's come with something they think they've heard, we've had to say, well, no, I don't think that's quite what God's saying. And that's still important. It's not that we'll always hear right. Sometimes we'll get the message wrong. And our cell group can be there for us to unburden ourselves, to release our message to a wider group, and if necessary, to the church. But it can be assessed within a cell group. So you see the way prayer and cell come together. There's a lovely unity there. Cell is a lovely family where, see, this is too big to be a family. It's a wonderful church, and but you can't know everyone intimately. That's not possible. But in cell group, you learn to know each other, to love each other, to nurture each other, to assist each other, to take each other a step forward, take each other into the presence of God, and be a family. So, if God speaks to us, first, don't ignore it. Have courage to put it into action. Second, motivate others with what you've heard, because that will give them power. And thirdly, praise God for what you've heard. Thank Him for it. And be ready for Him to bless you. Because you're hearing Him, He will bless you. Amen.